What does accessibility mean for online business owners, and why is it so important for the people that you serve and for you as you try to help your business grow? We're going to talk about all of that today. We have a special guest speaker, Jonathan Friedman. You're going to meet him in a second, but suffice it to say, you're going to have some real knowledge at the end of this video, as well as some tangible tips and tools that will make sure that accessibility is baked into your business, easy, and helping others so that you really show up as the full human being that you want to online. So let's dig in. Welcome to Emma Givens Content and Copy. My name's Emma, and I'm the founder of a boutique agency specializing in branded copywriting and content writing for small and medium-sized businesses. I know from experience working with hundreds of businesses of all shapes and sizes that compassionate, client-centered copy and content ultimately does three incredibly powerful things. One, it helps your ideal client by matching them to a product or service that's going to improve their life. Two, it positions you as the guy they think of first and trust wholeheartedly. And three, it actually improves conversion and retention for a thriving business long term. Are you excited to stand out to more of the clients you adore? Let's dive into some content and copy. We're going to be targeting our accessibility conversation to online business owners who are probably early to mid stage, but we are going to use an example from a very, very famous online business owner who teaches all the other business owners. You'll learn that person's name a little later in the video. And that just goes to show that this is going to be such an important topic throughout your time online, and that there's really no excuse for not learning how to do at least the basics. So that way you set yourself up strong from the beginning and you're not going backwards in time trying to update your website and rewrite copy and what. Don't do that to yourself. Let's do some of the basic foundation laying this time around, the first time. And then you can start to incorporate greater and greater tools and more nuance as you grow in size as a business and you have more platforms you can work with, you have a team, etc. So that is essentially the message I want you to take going into this video today. What is accessibility for you and your people?
Hi, Jonathan. Welcome.
So happy to be here, Emma. Thank you so much.
So, Jonathan, tell everybody who you are and how you get started in entrepreneurship.
Hells yeah. So I'm Jonathan, as Emma just said. Since I was young, I've been involved in all the side hustles. My first career was as a child and youth worker. I sort of ran a private practice with a bunch of my own clients and hired people under me to sort of, you know, build capacity for those individuals that we were working with. And I worked in group homes, I worked at schools, and then eventually I tried my hand in marketing, started a coffee company, left the coffee company, and now we're running an accessible mental health coaching service. So it's been a rip-roaring journey, rip-roaring good time, but that's part of the fun, I think.
Definitely. I think just following your curiosity and exploring things as they come up is a huge part of the entrepreneurship journey for anyone who's really an entrepreneur at heart. So that sounds very familiar.
Absolutely. Also, fun fact, I scream in a metal band too. So we got our foot in all the different kinds of waters.
Exactly. So we're going to talk about accessibility. So I think everyone has a sense of accessibility in the physical world. So I think automatically what comes to people's minds is, you know, making sure buildings are accessible with ramps, that sort of thing. But what are some examples of accessibility in technology and in the online world?
So I think accessibility, and I'm no expert, but I'm really into it. So I'm learning a lot. And what I want to share first with any entrepreneur, or anybody who has a website, or anybody who has anything that's starting to get into the space, just like everything else, accessibility is really a journey, and it starts first with being informed and then exploring how you can implement different things into your website. And it works very similar to the physical world. You see how you can sort of stop gaps and add things like the stop gap to your front door. And that it's similar that way with the web. So we can kind of break accessibility down into two parts. There's accessible, there's this physical piece to accessible technology, and there's the digital piece. And on the physical side, there's lots of different apparatuses or apparati, I don't know that word, but different tools, physical tools that people use to sort of interact with their computers. And people who need those tools often have those tools and can access them through various providers. But the thing we can do to help add those ramps or add those stopgaps, or really like adding an elevator to our building, is through the digital side. And that can be through restructuring our site in a way that's legible to screen readers. Because a lot of times when we're using, you know, visual website builders like Wix or Squarespace, we're sort of piecemealing things onto the page like we would on Canva or any other like photography tool. And sometimes screen readers are like, what the heck is that person trying to say? Because even though it might look like things are in order, things might actually not be in order. And with WordPress and some tools like that, you can kind of like get somebody to take a look at the code and sort of make sure that the paragraph is actually a paragraph and that one thing isn't over here and the other thing isn't under here, so on and so forth. And while screen reader technologists, the people who are actually creating these tools, are doing a really good job to sort of stop those gaps themselves, we can do a lot of those things on our side. Another thing we can do, for example, is by actually tagging each component of the content, let's say on our blog, to show to screen readers, hey, all this visual stuff over here, sure, it looks sick, but this is really the important stuff over here. This is really the stuff I want you to focus on. And there's literally a tag you can add called the main tag. And that just the word main, M-A-I-N. And it literally says, yo, screen reader, we have the main content over here. This is where our story begins and ends. Other things like can be, you know, in the SEO world, we talk a lot about alt text so we can get our images to rank. But that's not what alt text is for. If like alt text is to say, hey, you know, Jonathan Friedman is wearing a flamingo shirt and this is the picture we have of him. So the alt text should read Jonathan Friedman headshot with flamingo shirt. So the screen reader is able to access that information. Or you can say that it's decorative. And it's a lot of these things that, I mean, they're kind of simple really, but adding things like that can really sort of bridge that gap. So when we're talking about digital accessibility, we're talking about formatting our work in a way that makes sense, not only for search engines, but also for people.
Absolutely. I love how you also broke it down first with just being aware that this is something that can be done. I think it's not part of the online business courses that so many people take to usher them into, especially online entrepreneurship. It's not mentioned unless, like you said, in terms of SEO, to make sure that your blog posts rank. So being able to just realize that there are so many different options available to you just gets you starting in terms of how do you prioritize actually implementing these different aspects into your business that you just didn't know existed beforehand.
For sure. And I think there are two really like, one quick story is I thought like this was just simply by adding a plugin that kind of allowed like the interaction between your site and a screen reader. And I found out that like my website that I work so hard on, our accessible mental health coaching service, the plugin audited our site as well. I found there were like 300 different mistakes that were like, I had to totally, it was a whole thing. So even for people who have a focus, it's still a journey. That's piece one. And just secondly, to sort of outline the importance to it, depending on your niche and your service or the, you know, whatever you're providing, there's this whole market of like, just from a pure business perspective, there's this whole market of people who could access your resources. Like in my case, it's coaching. In your case, it's copywriting and like marketing, so on and so forth. There's this whole group of people who might be potential customers. And having these extra, this extra focus on accessibility can really bridge that gap. And, you know, it might even help you get some more customers that you might not have otherwise had. So yes, there's an altruistic perspective. There's an SEO perspective. There's a user experience perspective, but also like down to brass tacks, it's important there as well.
Absolutely. I actually really like that you just mentioned the user experience, because we also know that in the physical world, more universal design, more accessible design benefits everybody. So whether it's, you know, having lower curbs so that seniors can actually step up a little bit more easily, or there's so many different benefits to the whole world. And so I would imagine that this is similar in the online world too, where it improves the overall user experience to take accessibility into account.
Absolutely. Just because something's pretty doesn't mean it works well. And exactly. That's really the piece. And the dark hole with UX and user experience design is it doesn't need to look pretty, but it needs to work well. And you're really trying to find the balance between those two things, but also the dark hole of what does working well really mean? And for how many people can we make it work well? And that's really the ongoing struggle and learning piece. So I totally agree with you.
And it's something that all stages of businesses are really, you know, you need to revisit it. Because for example, a couple of weeks ago on my YouTube channel, we reviewed Marie Forleo's sales page. And Marie Forleo is the biggest name in online business. And her Time Genius sales page, just from the general user experience, did not function well. There were so many parallax effects that multiple things on the page didn't load. And we ended up having all sorts of discussions in the comments around, what is this supposed to be? Is it a clock? Is it half a clock? Does somebody see a temperature bar instead of a clock? And it took us all over the place and really changed everybody's experiences so that some people had better experiences than others. And it actually made people feel like it wasn't as professional as it could have been, or it wouldn't be for them because they just didn't have that good first impression. So I think it's important to consider that, you know, this isn't just something a new business owner is trying to figure out. I think there's different levels to it. And as technology changes, it's important to stay aware so that way you can always be up to date.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's the website component, but also even things like on Instagram, for example, we were running a quick social media training with WeBe, Women in Business Enterprise. And people were unaware that if you click on editing your photo on Instagram, there's an accessibility component and you can add alt text to your images, things like that. Every piece of your front-facing business, your storefront, or your information or your blog, you have the availability on so many different platforms to start adding these tools. And it's good. It's the right thing to do. And it's really good.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a best practice because it's the right thing to do. And it's good for your business too. So I even think of the fact that, you know, when people are trying to learn SEO with me, you know, SEO for your blog, and they try and skimp in certain areas. And one sometimes is the alt text for images. But making that one improvement in how accessible your site is, it's all, you're rewarded for it too, because it helps you with SEO. Google rewards you for having a more SEO-friendly and accessible experience. And that would be the same with Instagram, same with LinkedIn. If they give you the option to quickly add in some alt text, take them up on it, because it will actually benefit you as a business owner too. There's no reason really to hold yourself back.
For sure. Or even things like heading. Some people add, like, let's say, I don't know, we're writing, you know, Jonathan's 5 reasons to wear a flamingo shirt. And that's the title we want for the blog. And I just bold it instead of just calling it heading 1, right? And Google, even though Google is, I mean, come on, Google's the smartest thing in the world, knows what we're trying to do. It's really not good enough. And by just saying, yes, Google, this is heading 1, and also, yes, screen reader, this is heading 1, heading 2, heading 3. We're crushing it by doing those things. And they're really, really just simple implementations to do. You don't need to be a wizard, Harry.
Yeah, absolutely. It makes your text more skimmable as well when you have clearly defined headings and you're actually consciously making sure it's not giant blocks of text, right? It is easier overall for anybody to experience your website. Your read time goes up on your page, and the longer someone stays on your website, the more likely they're going to end up in your services section and book a discovery call with you. It really is just the best practice. There's no reason to hold yourself back. Although I can imagine some entrepreneurs might be a little bit intimidated though, because this is new and they don't know exactly where to start. So if you were to give someone advice where they've, you know, maybe they've made a website and it's been running and now they all of a sudden realize, oh, I've never thought about this before. Where should they start to try and make things more accessible?
So I would start in 2 places. I think if, you know, you're the solopreneur who never even thought they'd have a website, and starting a website and starting all of these different pieces, it's really, really fresh to you. I would say take a look at Wikipedia and see how they structure their content. There's always, you know, if I'm making, again, a blog post about Mexican food and how to make perfect Mexican food, we're going to have the heading one be how to make perfect Mexican food. Then, you know, I might separate that, the next two headings, heading two, into tacos, or Tex-Mex food versus traditional Mexican food. And then, you know, traditional Mexican food, I might be talking about how to make the perfect tortilla, or I might be talking about tacos. And then when I go to Tex-Mex food, we're talking burritos, we're talking nachos, we're talking all of those other things. And my mouth is salivating because I love this food, but really it's that simple. It's just organizing your content. And that makes it really easy, as you're saying, for users to sort of understand, hey, this is the content I need to check out because I really, you know, screw all the other stuff. I need to know how to make, I need to learn about burritos. Mm-hmm. But also for every other reason, for Google, for accessibility, these are the things that are really, really simple, low-hanging fruit to do. And I guarantee that if you type in on YouTube or Google or talk to Emma and say, hey, how do I structure this content? It's five steps. It's really simple. The other thing I would say is if you have, as you were saying before, that real example, what was the name of that portfolio?
The portfolio, Marie Forleo's sales page. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. So in the example where, you know, you have a bit of expertise around adding effects to your website and adding, you know, visual components, but your load speed is very low. And that, I mean, that's Google's number one sort of thing. Your website has to load fast on a 3G mobile phone across the world. That's really their thing. Mm-hmm. And it should really load in 2 seconds or less. So really, if you know you're using WordPress, there are some really simple plugins you can do to sort of compress your images and make things work really fast. I think one of them is real. I've been using Webflow for quite some time now for my website, but I believe one is literally called Squish or something like that to compress your image. You can use a website called tinyjpg.com to compress your images and increase your load speed. There's different plugins like Yoast or Rank Math to sort of notice where things could be improved either in your blog with formatting or with your load speed too. And these are all free tools to plug into your website. You can also go to gtmetrics.com or Google's Lighthouse tool, which are, again, free tools to use. And if you type in your website, it'll say, you need to do this to be better. And a lot of those changes are really low-hanging fruit, or you can find a simple solution on YouTube or with Emma or with anybody. It's really, really easy. So those are kind of the two places I would go. First, you have sort of that load speed and also just the content structure of your website.
Absolutely. And those are almost all new to me, although Yoast is something that I recommend as a tool for my writing coaching clients. So that is such a great way that not only does it tell you how to improve your website, but it specifically highlights things for you. Like there's no excuse. You can immediately find the sentence that needs to be fixed. So a lot of these tools really make your life so much easier. You don't have to figure it out alone. And we'll definitely make sure that all of those different tools are linked in the description box for YouTube. And we should also have it in the show notes for the podcast.
Perfect. One more plugin that I forgot the name, but now I remember the name. It's super cheap. I believe a year subscription of the service is $40 or something like that. It's called WP Rocket for all the WordPress users. It speeds things up so much. I've worked literally on websites that took 12 seconds to load, which is obviously that's a long time. Yeah. And it crushes it down to 4 seconds. And that's insane. And I think there's still always work that needs to be done. You know, you need to be putting in small images to begin with and formatting your websites well to begin with. But there are tools out there like WP Rocket to kind of just make it smoother, easier for people who aren't coding wizards.
Yeah, exactly. You can always start somewhere. Even as a solopreneur, you should be able to implement one of these different things today to make your website more accessible, to benefit you and your ideal clients better. And it doesn't have to be rocket science, right? You can just start making small changes, iterate all the time, And once you get to a really big level, then you can have people who are real experts who are able to dig into all the nuances for you. But I think having that intention to start with makes all the difference in the world, and it makes an impact for sure. So speaking about accessibility as well in customer service, especially with online business owners, I'm really curious in terms of course, having an accessible website when someone goes to explore your content is great service to everyone. But what happens once they're a little further in their client journey? What are some ways that you can create experiences that are more accessible?
I think, so I'll speak for my own service. So we have the Journal That Talks Back, and people book a call with us to see if our coaching is a good fit for them, because we want to make sure at every point that people are getting the service that they need, because especially with something so, you know, personal like mental health, there are so many different ways they can go. We can be talking about things from leadership to things like anxiety, and it's really important that people get what they need. So things that we do from a customer service point of view is, if people show up to the call and they're not a fit, we refer them to things that are a fit. And, you know, there's no affiliate fees. There's nothing like that. It's good practice to make sure people get what they need. If you're running a marketing service where, you know, you're doing SEO, but you really are noticing that the gap is that you need to redesign your website to be maybe more accessible, or maybe load faster, or maybe just to have an overall better flow, refer them to an agency that you know that does that, because one, you're going to make a really good friend with both that customer. You're going to be the first person they think of when they're ready for your service. And also you're making a friend with a new agency and a new person in your field. So that can be, that's a really good place to start. Secondly, if that person consents to giving you their email or their contact, you can send them really good information. Like we have this blog, 5 Ways to Crush an Anxiety Attack. Well, it's not an exhaustive list on how to crush an anxiety attack. Everybody has their own thing. It's a really good place to start. Lots of people who I've had calls with who, you know, they didn't choose to move forward with our service for, you know, it wasn't the best fit for them. They're following us on TikTok. They're talking to me on Instagram all the time. We're always open as a resource first. And I think for any business, whether you're in mental health or marketing or really anything, that's a really great way to stay connected, stay top of mind, and also continuously offer something to your community. And I think when we focus on community as opposed to like customers specifically, even though I agree like customer experience, but calling it community and focusing on it that way, I think that's a really important shift. And that allows us to serve more people and stay top of mind for more people. So that's kind of like the top level of how I would look at that customer experience and how to improve it. But also doing things like having groups in more places or affiliating yourself, not necessarily monetarily, but affiliating yourself with more organizations and maybe some different disciplines. You know, there's this program in Toronto called KIND, K-I-N-N-D, maybe it's called KIND. And they do meetups for people on Zoom and in person to sort of like decrease loneliness. I want to be their best friend, right? Like I want to send all my customers who live in Toronto there. I think that's a really great opportunity to notice your scope and where it stops and ends and where other people can sort of fill that gap. So it's always taking that extra moment to connect, see how people are doing, and do that. And then one more piece from the accessibility standpoint is, let's say in our case, we have people who are using, it's basically like a text coaching service, where the coaching version of text therapy. As an administrator, I can go, like there's nothing that's stopping me from calling that customer and saying, hey, I know you've been having an amazing time with your coach, but how are you doing? Like, have you been enjoying our service? Are there any features you'd like to see being added into the app in the future? And just sort of having those conversations can also bridge those gaps. So that was a very long answer to a very simple question.
No, I don't think it is a simple question. I think there are so many different practices that you can consider. I think the last thing you said around being open to feedback, because really it's, you know, in making sure everyone feels safe to be able to say what what they need, right? And being willing and responsible for making adjustments to make things as accessible as possible, because you only have your frame of mind. Just like you were saying, you're an expert in your area, so it's great to have contacts that you can send people out to. You also are limited to your experience. And as much as we want to educate ourselves and listen and be open, that's a great example of when listening can make all the difference in the world for the people that you serve. And you also sort of hinted at something that I really focus on, especially coming from an e-learning background. When, you know, we would create courses, it was really important to make sure that there were different formats for that same information. And you don't have to go all in right now. So for example, in my business, we have a blog, we have a YouTube channel, so that's visual. We're switching over so that we can do a podcast as well, so that's audio. We're creating in so many different mediums. So whatever is accessible to someone, but also whatever someone prefers, they have those options available to them. And it also benefits you as a business owner because you can repurpose content and be top of mind in a few different places at the same time. But you don't have to start with all of them, right? We ramped up. We started with the blog. We added YouTube. We're finally now, after I think over a year of YouTube, switching to also be able to include podcast material. It's a journey. But I think just knowing that that is another element that you can, again, improve the entire community experience and focus on service as well. Because really what you're saying is, you know, whether they end up being your customer or not, if you are there to serve them, make sure they get the right fit for what they need, that you still provide resources for free. You know, if they are a good fit, they can see it from all of those experiences and they may become your customer. But regardless, you're supporting your community and you're making the world a little bit of a better place. So I think it's many, many practices layered together and you pick what works for you and explore and add as you go along.
Yeah, I love that. One simple like thing that I'm sure a lot of business owners know is like there's Canva, which is a really epic tool to use to like put photos together and some graphics for Instagram. But there's a very simple resize tool that you can resize the same content for different platforms. So you don't have to spend, you know, time making a specific Facebook graphic or a specific LinkedIn graphic or a specific Instagram graphic, although you might want to change some of the text to be more appropriate for the different medium. But it's very quick and easy to do. Like if you go to the top of the page and click resize, you can go from Instagram to Pinterest with the click of a button. So it's a very easy way to do that.
Absolutely. And another benefit to you is that means you have really consistent branding across all these different platforms too. Yeah, so it's just beneficial, right? To try and repurpose with accessibility in mind. It helps everyone involved, including you. So there's a lot more to explore here. And we definitely hope, I'm pretty confident saying that Jonathan and I both hope that this gets you entrepreneurs reflecting on your current practices and intentionally incorporating accessibility into your businesses. But before we say so long for now, Jonathan, you've mentioned the Journal That Talks Back. So can you share with us how that works? What is the Journal That Talks Back?
Yeah, who the heck are we? So basically, at the beginning, I've been working for a coaching company called Frame of Mind for quite some time in a marketing capacity. And that was after I was a youth worker. And at the beginning of COVID, Kim, the owner of Frame of Mind, and my stepmom looked at each other and said, we need something for younger people. Therapy, counseling, coaching. It's either really expensive or there's a very, very long wait list for these services. So we need to come up with an in-between option. So what we did was we started doing some brainstorming and we figured out, hey, you know, we've been using journaling as a tool with our clients with Frame of Mind for a very long time. Clients like Microsoft, Pink, Tim Hortons, and it works. It's really, really good. So we wanted to look at how we could take that and make it for younger people. So what we did was we wanted to create the coaching version of text therapy using this journaling. So the Journal That Talks Back is a tool such that you have an intake call with one of our intake team who are amazing people. They're coaches or doctors, and you get matched with your very own coach. You track your mood, your sleep, your stress, and you journal, and your coach is reading and responding to each and every journal. So if you want to journal 300 times a day because you have a lot of stuff going on, your coach will respond 300 times in that day. If you want to journal once a week, although we recommend you journal more, you can do that too if it's just nice to know somebody is there to support you on the other side. And our app, to be honest, is not we didn't spend time developing algorithms or doing any of that. We wanted to create something that's just a safe place to connect with a coach. And it's private, it's secure, and that's the whole thing. So if you or anyone you know is looking for either, you know, improving their leadership skills, or, you know, they might be having a tough time in their relationship, or they're struggling with their mental health, you can check us out at www.thejournalthattalksback.com and book a call, and we'll get back to you really, really, really quickly. Also, the website's pretty fun. So
that's fun. I checked it out and I hit the birds and the birds were flying in different directions. I love it. It's very interactive.
I'm glad.
Yeah. I strongly recommend that you go check it out, because it's a wonderful, wonderful idea. And it's totally focuses on service and helping the community. So it's fantastic. So in general, Jonathan, where can we find you and follow what you're up to?
So you can find us at Journal That Talks Back on Instagram. You can follow me on Instagram, Jonathan A. Friedman. You'll see a bearded man in a polka dot shirt. The flamingo shirt got retired for that day. I'm on TikTok, Jonathan Friedman 1993. And then we're on Facebook under both of those names, and LinkedIn under both of those names everywhere. So check us out. That's what I was trying to say. Send us a message, and we're here for you, my friend.
Fantastic. Yeah, definitely go find Jonathan and go check out the Journal That Talks Back. Thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate the time that you spent with us, and can't wait for everyone to share how they're actively making their online entrepreneur experience more accessible.
Thanks, Emma. It's been a pleasure.
Okay, welcome back. So that was an incredible interview. I learned so much, specifically around tools. You know, I've been trained in accessibility as someone who has an e-learning background, in addition to all my copywriting and content writing background. And it's so amazing to me how much there is always to learn. And I don't say that for it to feel intimidating, rather to just show that by learning this basic amount that you have today, you are already so far beyond what the average online business owner is starting with. And this is going to serve you so, so well as you do grow. You're going to be making sure that you help everybody who needs your help, all of your ideal clients, no matter where they're coming from in life, and you're making yourself and your website, your whole experience more accessible and universally attractive, something easier to interact with for everybody, regardless of their level of ability in whatever area. So I just really want you to kind of, you know, give yourself a pat on the back. You're doing the right thing by understanding this now, and just get started with one thing today. Can you start using alt tags if you've never used those behind the scenes in your photos for blogs before? Can you look at one of the tools that Jonathan suggested and see how you can incorporate one into your daily kind of publication practices? So think about one easy way that you can start today. All right, thank you so much for joining me for this really important topic. Bye. Thank you so much for tuning in to Emma Givens Content and Copy. If you had an aha moment or insight from today's episode, let's make it stick by writing it down in a review. It would actually mean the world to me and my entire team. You can write a review on Apple Podcasts, then screenshot it and tag me on Instagram at Emma Givens Writer. I'd be thrilled to start a conversation with you and reshare your big aha moment with the rest of the audience. Until next time, remember, your voice matters. Let's set it free. See you next week for another episode of Emma Givens Content and Copy.